ladies. Let's take our Bible today, if you would. We'll turn to Ephesians chapter number 6 this morning as we look today at the matter of the enemy. We've talked about in chapter 6 preparing for the battle, knowing our enemy, and then, of course, defeating our enemy. And today I'd like for us to look into these verses as we think about engaging and eliminating the enemy. The enemy, of course, is Satan and his emissaries that work against the child of God. And we're talking about, in this particular matter, the Apostle Paul is rather writing to those in Ephesus who are born-again believers. They're, of course, brothers and sisters in Christ. He is giving them the instructions how to continue the warfare with Christian living. Of course, he's encouraged the brethren there, thinking, just as speaking these words, he talked about how that we are together in the things of the Lord and the work of God. And that word is often used by the Apostle Paul. Being in Christ, being in the heavenlies, seated with him, and then having the help of the Holy Spirit sealed to the day of redemption, filled with the Spirit of God in chapter 5. You and I can be continually filled, and he spoke of that, how that we're to do that. We're to continually be filled with the Spirit of God so that we can withstand the devil, so that we can fight against the wiles of the devil. And then we pick up today in verse 18 in chapter 6. Now we're talking about eliminating the enemy. Speaking of engaging with the armor. Now we saw last time you put on the whole armor of God. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Let me say that again. Which is the Word of God. Couple of words in the Greek that describe word, and we would need to understand this. Christ is the Logos. That is one word. He is the Logos, the Word of God. But he says that we're to take the Rhema, which is the spoken Word of God. We're to take what is spoken and the recorded Word of God, and we're to use this in this warfare with Satan. That's what Jesus did. He is the Logos, but he gave to Satan the Word of God when he was tempted in Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapter 4. And then he says in verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that ye also may know my affairs, how I do. Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that you might know our affairs, that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with you all that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading and hearing of his word. We find in verse 18 how that the believer, now you're talking about being prepared for battle with the armor, and we spoke of each one of the pieces and their importance of how that we're to prepare ourselves to do battle with the devil. For you and I alone are no match for him, but with the equipment of God, of course, being put on, and then he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication. We must engage in prayer to have the source that we need to supply us with the strength. You think about that. We say we're born again. To be born again is to be in Christ, to have Christ in us, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what a born-again believer is. They're indwelt by the Spirit of God. We have that Spirit within us, but yet at the same time, we are to engage ourselves with the matters of the Lord. We're talking about praying. Prayer is asking from God, asking God for something. We're talking about the matter of it. It's used in a sense of asking God to do for us. In other words, it's not that he's not able, but he wants us to ask. Paul said in another place to pray without ceasing. Jesus prayed. Why did he pray? Well, he's God, you say. Well, he prayed asking God for certain things to be done. He said at the Garden of Gethsemane, Father, if it be thy will, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, thy will be done. And it was the cup of suffering. Prayer puts us in communication with God. It's a matter of not worshiping God, but prayer is seen as coming to the Lord. It's a sense of worship. Don't misunderstand me. But prayer, again, is asking God to do something for us. It's not how we ask him. The matter is that we ask him. What do you mean by that? Well, sometimes we begin to pray, and we try to find the right words to say. Sometimes it's about the matter of the structure of the sentence. You hear someone pray, and they'll pray about something in a sense of, with eloquent wording. It's not about the wording. Well, it's about having communication with God. Again, I think about Peter. You remember when the Lord passed by, they were in the ship and the ship began to sink with the storm. And of course, they saw the Lord on the water. This is not the time when the ship's sinking and the Lord's in the boat, but the Lord's passing by. By the way, God had, the Lord Jesus had sent them into this particular storm, and John chapter 6, we find there where they had fed the 5,000, and in some way they had missed the understanding of what was being said and done spiritually. And we find in that that he constrained them to get into the boat and go to the other side. In other words, Jesus said, get in the boat and go to the other side. And you would understand that as a parent to a child. Sometimes a parent has a way of saying something and they get the point. Get in the boat and go to the other side. And he sent them away. And of course, they're in the midst of the Sea of Galilee, and at what watch in the night before morning, it's still dark, and Jesus walks by, and Peter said to the Lord, Lord, if it be thee, bid thee that I come to thee. And you know the story. And someone said, Peter walked just far enough to shut the disciples' mouths. He's walking on the water, but then he began to sink, and he closed his mouth. But what he said in his prayer was, Lord, save me. He didn't begin to pray about all the needs in the world, all the conflicts, all the bad things that are going on. By the way, I'm not belittling this, but God already knows what's going on in the world today, folks. He sees what this world is doing, and he sees the chaos. Now, sometimes it may do us good to bring it to our mind, but don't get stuck on those things. What we want to see is we need to communicate with God. God saved Jesus. He said, Lord, save me, and he did. We need to get specific in our prayers, and this is what he's saying, praying always with all prayer and supplication. Supplication is being specific in our prayer life. It's saying what we need and what we want, why we need it and why we are asking for it. Being specific in our prayer life, not just a general prayer. God bless me. God bless you. God bless your home. God bless your work. God bless your service. Be specific. What is it that you want God to do? And then when we see the Lord answer the prayer, you can increase your faith by saying, God did that. That was God. If God, and He does great wonders, don't misunderstand me. If God allowed us to go through life with everything that we pray about without praying, where would we have God? Why would we need God, someone would say. Well, we need God, of course, for salvation. We need the Lord Jesus Christ. What He did, we need that by faith. But we need God to hear and answer prayer because we are needy people. We're saved throughout eternity, eternal secure in Christ, the work that He did by faith in Him, but we are still needy people. You and I do not know what may be ahead of us in the next few days, weeks, months, or even years. We don't know how to pray for what we need next year, of course, until sometimes it arises, but let's be specific about what we're asking God for today. Is there something specifically in your life this morning that you would say, Father, I want you to do this thing, whatever it is? It may be more than one, but being specific in prayer. And this is what He says, we're to do it always. All prayer and supplication in the Spirit. We're to be in the Spirit of God. Of course, the Spirit of God is in us. And by the way, we're to be aligned with the Spirit of God. Our will and the Father's will must be in alignment. It must be we're praying about something that God would want for us that's beneficial to us. Don't misunderstand me. Sometimes we may pray about something and God has something better for us. And we're thinking, if I could have this, dear Lord, this would be sufficient. And He says, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do something more. It may be that God hears our prayer and He doesn't give what we think we need, but He teaches us through our prayer life that there's something more important than asking for that specific need. It may be that God is training us in this matter of prayer. Again, prayer is, of course, asking God. It's not the manner of doing that, of falling on our face before God. Some people fall down to worship the Lord. That's the word that's used in the Greek in prayer life. They fall before the Lord on their face. Some people stand. We find that. Remember in the Scripture, Pharisee, and of course the sinner, they go into the temple to pray, and the Pharisee, he's going on with this long prayer, and then the sinner says, Lord, forgive me, and he heard his prayer, and God answered his prayer. So we find these things, and be as specific in the Spirit. And by the way, thinking too about the Spirit of God, Paul said in the book of Romans that the Spirit makes utterance for us. In other words, the Holy Spirit is praying for us. We can't hear that, but He knows what we need, and He's praying that God would give that to us in accordance to the will of God. I could stop this morning and say I'm thankful that God hasn't answered all of my prayers. And you'll understand that I have asked God to do things for me, and if He had done those things, I'm not saying about talking about losing my salvation. I'm saved in the Lord, but asking God to do things in my life, I can look back clearly and state for the things that I had asked God for, I thought was in His plan for my life. It wasn't standing behind a pulpit, folks. But see, that's the plan He had for my life. And I surrender to the will of God. Okay, Lord, this is what You want me to do. I want to do what You want. And it's through the working of prayer and the prayer of others. That's why He says, in all prayers and supplication in the Spirit. And He's talking about supplication for all saints. Think about the power of prayer in one individual. You pray in the Spirit of God. To the Father, through the Son. Think about that. Think about the power of that. You're praying in the Spirit, through the Son, to God the Father. And the Scripture tells us that we're to come boldly before the throne of grace. We have that right now after being born again. You and I have the right to go all the way to the throne of grace. not out in the court as it was prior to the Lord renting the temple in two when he died on the cross. We would have been in the Gentile court, you and I, we're Gentiles, unless there's some Jews here that are complete in Christ. You and I would have been in the Gentile court, which would have been the furthest away court to the Holy of Holies. But now we can go boldly before the throne of grace, not into the Holy of Holies where the high priest could in the Old Testament, but we go into the heavenly holies. Just through a prayer. Just when you utter the name of the Lord, just when you come to him in your prayer life and he hears you in that split second. Lord, save me. Lord, help me. I need help right now, Lord. And he does that. And we see that. And again, the power, that's one. And then think when others are praying with you. When you and I pray together, that's why Paul oftentimes in his writings to his letters to these churches, he gave thanks for the prayer, and then he asked for them to pray for him because there's power in unity. And when you and I, born again believers, we make up the body of Christ, and think about the strength in numbers of prayer. And this is what he said, and it goes on to say, and watching, therefore, with all perseverance. Watching, you're talking about looking. That word in the Greek means sleeplessness. Sleeplessness. Watching. Sleeplessness. You're not to be asleep. Sometimes you're not to be asleep, especially someone who was a guard on duty. But watching means sleeplessness. Have you ever had a sleepless night? Where there was something heavy on your heart and you woke up and you couldn't sleep and you keep bringing it before the Lord. This is how we're to do. He said with perseverance in this matter of being persistent and without dozing off. Let's be honest. Sometimes we pray or we start to pray and we come before the Lord and we have our mindset, Lord, I'm going to ask you for this. So sometimes be careful that it doesn't become a repetition and we begin to go through the repetition and then we doze off or we drift off. We're awake, but we're not really with it and our mind begins to drift. It happens. We're human. Sometimes we may take the Bible and say, you know, I'm going to read this scripture today, and I'm going to finish this book today and continue to read. Let me encourage you to do that. Read through the Word of God at your rate of speed, whatever that is. But you'll find yourself starting to read and your mind begins to wander away. That's when you need to put it down. You need to stop. You need to say, okay, Lord, help me with this matter. Even in the prayer life, Lord, help me to be specific with this supplication. Help me to watch for the devil. I don't want to doze off while I'm in the matter of praying. As Brother John Phillips, a professor of mine, said, praying fights the enemy, watching sights the enemy. See, he's out there. He's watching. He's sleepless. Satan, he doesn't go to sleep. He and his emissaries, this is what we're saying. We have on all of the equipment of God. But prayer is the key thing. It's the source that gives us strength. And we're to watch for the enemy. We know that he doesn't want God to bless us. But when you and I enter to the throne room of God through prayer, he can't keep that from happening. And we need to pray to the Lord, believing. And he goes on to say in verse 19, and as for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly. See, Paul wants the believers at Ephesus, and you and I, in this matter, you see the importance again of the unity in numbers. Pray for me, he said, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly. That utterance is understanding. That understanding may be given to the Apostle Paul. Remember, the Apostle Paul at this time in his life, he's in jail. He's in Rome. He's in prison. Now, he's believing what God had said. God had called him to be an apostle to the Gentiles. He said, Paul, I'm going to put you, I'm paraphrasing this, I'm going to put you in high places in front of kings and others. And he hasn't gotten there yet. He's waiting for his day before the emperor for what he's in bonds for the chains that he's being held with. He's waiting for that day. Again, sometimes God may get us to where he wants to use us, but it may not be the way that we would have planned it. Think with me just a moment. Sometimes it's through the heartaches, through the loss, through the suffering that we get to the place to where God can use us the most. And I've said before in that, sometimes through that process of whatever may have occurred in your life, now you can empathize with people, not sympathize, but empathize with people, have empathy toward people in that you are able to see what they're going through. And to sympathize with someone is to feel sorry for them in seeing what they're going through, but not really knowing. But to have empathy for a person, you've been through that yourself. Sometimes it's a high price. It's a hard place. But you see, that's what God does, and he has used that now so that I can minister to others. And this is how it works. We pray for God to remove sometimes the thorn that's inflicting the pain. Paul said, I prayed three times. He's asked God to remove the thorn in his side, whatever that thorn may have been. And he found that God said, my grace is sufficient for thee. See, it's God's grace is sufficient to get you through that storm, through that trial. Whatever it is, his grace is sufficient. Why? Because he can be glorified on the other side of it. He can now use you in a way that you weren't able to be used before. And this is the working of the Lord. This is why, again, I think about the Apostle Paul saying to those in Philippi, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. See, he sees that. You and I, we can see the power of the resurrection of Christ. One day we'll come out of the grave. Death can't hold us. Death can't threaten us. Death shouldn't threaten a believer. You're a believer. You're going to, at the moment your physical eyes close, your spiritual eyes are open. That shouldn't be a threat to you. Maybe a lot of things we'd like to get done before that happens, but let's be working on it. But death can't hold its prey, those who are in Christ. That I may know you in the power of the resurrection of Christ. And then the fellowship of the suffering. I've shared this before, maybe with you, I don't know, but I had a black pastor friend of mine. We had classes together years ago, and I was saying that to him. And he said, you know, brother, he said, a lot of people want the power of the resurrection of Christ, but not many people want the sufferings. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. See, if we go through this world, in this present world that we're living, where Satan is the god of this world, little g, not the God, but he's the God of this world. We've seen this in Ephesians. We know that he's against the believer. We're wrestling and fighting against principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness, all of these things. But yet, we have the power of God. We may suffer, but we'll overcome that. And then this is what Paul is saying. Pray for me that utterance may be given unto me. See, he's put into jail. He's incarcerated for his utterance of the gospel. And he wants to get out and go farther. Having said this, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. He wants to declare, if you would, the word of God. Open boldly. You again, I'm thinking about the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians. He talks about some of the things that he had been through. Stoned. shipwreck. By the way, he'd been shipwrecked 3 times, if I remember correctly, in writing to those in Corinth, and that was not even the shipwreck he was on going to Rome in his final journey. Shipwreck, a day and night at sea. Can you imagine? It's not like the Coast Guard's out looking for anyone back then. He's just out there floating on a board. Maybe they'll make landfall, maybe what. This man has really been through it, but he's never complaining. He said that I may know him, that I may know the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. Paul is not afraid of the suffering of the Lord. This is what he said. He wants the prayer to be that he can open his mouth boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel. What is the mystery of the gospel? Again, Paul has used this word, Greek word mysterion, over and over and over. The mystery of the gospel is a hidden truth within the Word of God. Now, there are hidden truths, plural, within the Word of God. What would they be? Well, for instance, the Apostle Paul was a Pharisee, and what they had at that day and time was the Old Testament. There were hidden truths there that pointed to Jesus Christ. There were hidden truths within the Old Testament that point out that the Gentiles, you and I, are included in God's great love for mankind. And this is what Paul is doing. Those two things, and there are many more, but for these two specifics, Paul has been incarcerated, he's been beaten, he's been stoned, he's been shipwrecked, he's had all of these things happen, and by the way, he will lose his head. He's going to have his life taken from him. Because of what? Because of this preaching of the Word of God. The mystery of the gospel. The mystery of the gospel is that God has included whosoever will to have salvation in his Son, Jesus Christ. And the Jews hated him for that. His own countrymen, the Jews, followed him. They persecuted him in every city. They would go and look for him and have him beaten, stoned, or what. And yet, this is what he's asking prayer for, that I may make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador. He's an ambassador for the gospel. Paul uses this term again. For you and I, for believers, he said that we too are ambassadors for the Lord. An ambassador would be one who is in charge of the emperor's business in Rome. Again, Paul's in prison. He could look to his side and see a soldier. He could see the shield and say, we need a shield of faith. He saw the sword. He said, we need the sword of the Spirit. He saw the helmet. He said, we need the helmet over our head of salvation. Paul saw these things, and then he thinks about this ambassador, this representative of the government, of the emperor. If you want to see what the government is about, and you couldn't get to the emperor, you've got the ambassador. The ambassador is the one who's sitting in the place of authority for this person. This ambassador would know more about, the emperor, know more about the form of government, would know more about the meaning of it all. And you and I are an ambassador for Christ. He is our reigning figure. He is our authority. You and I represent him. Think about that. As a believer, you are an ambassador for Christ. My wife and I will be leaving on Wednesday going to Kenya. We are ambassadors for the Lord. We have an ambassador in Kenya. Don't misunderstand me. I hope and pray that he's saved, or she's saved, or whoever. We've got ambassadors throughout the world. And what are they doing? They're representing our nation. They know for what our government stands for. They know how this particular people think, what they're made up of, so to speak. And this is what an ambassador does. So you and I are an ambassador. And Paul says that this word, using it now, I am an ambassador in bonds. He's in bonds. He's in chains for what he has represented and what he believes. And therein I speak boldly as I ought to speak. Now, pray for us. Paul said that. I would like for you to pray for my wife and I as we go to Kenya this coming Wednesday. We've got a great, as I said, a great plan ahead. With the men, with the women, with the churches, with the young men coming into the ministry, with the graduates. There's a lot going on, but there's a lot of oppression. There's a lot of persecution. There's persecution in other places. We've seen some of this in times past, but that's nothing to be afraid of. But we need the power of God in our life that we may make known the mystery of the gospel. That's what I'm going for, is the preaching of the word of God. My wife will be doing some dental work in this thing. That's her calling to the ministry, as well as taking opportunity there in the dental chair to give the word of God. But pray that the mystery of the gospel may be given out boldly. See, within this world, we have all types of different beliefs. There are some that have been persuaded with the false gospel. There we go to try to give the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that brings delivery to the soul that's being held in captivity. You're talking about false religions. There are false religions. I've seen them in every country that I've been in. False religions, another Jesus, another gospel. But pray that our gospel would be received as it's given out boldly concerning the mystery of the gospel. Paul said in Colossians chapter number 1, talking about the mystery, in verse number 26, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Think about that. That mystery that's in God's word, but no one has ever received. And now they can understand that Christ in me, now there's hope. I can have eternal life. I can be delivered from the wages of sin. I can be delivered from the weight of sin. I can be delivered from the wrath of sin. Folks, it's a wonderful thing to be set free. Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." It's in the word of God. So pray for us in this matter, if you would. And then he moves toward the conclusion by saying, "But yet ye also may know my affairs." Think with the apostle, just a moment, with the apostle Paul. We know he's in prison. But how is he doing? How's the Apostle Paul doing? He's writing this and going to send it with this loved one in the faith. But that you may know my affairs and how I do. Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things. He has someone he can count on to send forth the truth of his life. Someone that can relate with the people. Someone that knows the heart of the Apostle Paul. He's a faithful minister, taking in and doing the work as a minister with trust in the Lord. And he'll make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye may know our affairs, that he might comfort your hearts. Remember, Paul said, "I'm praying for you," in this letter, talking to the believers at Ephesus. But now he's requesting their prayers. Pray for me. Pray for him. He'll tell you how well I'm doing, that you might know our affairs, and it might comfort your hearts. I wonder when Tychicus got there, and they said, "Well, how's the Apostle Paul?" said, "He's still chained." He didn't get there and say, "Well, you know, he's still chained to that guard. He's hoping. He's hoping soon to have his day in court." I can only imagine. He said, "The Apostle Paul is chained to a guard, but this man has won so many people to the Lord." Matter of fact, the guy he's chained to, he would have let him go, but he has to keep his job. See, the Apostle Paul was used by God to reach those in Caesar's household as well. God put him in a place. It wasn't easy in his side of looking at it. And that's the way it works in our position sometimes. We don't see how God can make good of this, but he can. And he glorifies himself sometimes in the problems and trials that you and I face. I don't know what you may be going through this morning, but he does. And don't give in and don't give up. Stay with it. It's through this situation that God will glorify himself. He'll bring glory and honor if we'll stay with it and continue to be with him. Stay with him in prayer. Bring our needs before him, and he'll give the grace to get through whatever it is that you're facing. He says, peace be unto the brethren, a peace be to the brethren, and love with faith. Love with faith. Having faith in God, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with you all, or with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. See, Paul's praying the grace of God to be upon the fellow believers. May God's grace be upon you. The grace of God, of course, is God giving to us what we do not deserve. May God give more to you. May God bless you more. May God make himself known to you. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus with sincerity. Praying for the brothers. Think about that this morning in closing. We're to pray one for another. We're to pray for the saints of God. And the last little word he uses before saying, even so let it be, which is amen, he says, in sincerity. We're to pray one for another without hypocrisy, but in sincerity. With all earnestness, let's say that. Genuine, pure prayer one for another. My prayer is that God would bless each one of you from the bottom of my heart, from the depths of my heart. I don't know what you may be going through, but my prayer is for you. It's not my business to be the Holy Spirit and try to correct people and align them. Oh, I could come up with some good suggestions, but that doesn't really matter. That's what the world wants us to do. We see the things of the world sometimes. We think as an armchair guy, you know, I know what they need. If I could get a hold of that. No, we're not the Holy Spirit, folks. But we're saints of God in the Spirit, and the Spirit in us, and we need to pray one for another in sincerity, in genuine love, without offense. That word sincerity is kind of interesting. That word sincerity means genuine, and it means to be in light of. In light of the sunlight. Pray in sincerity, he's saying there, by not judging, but judging by, let the sunlight do the judging. You think about the sun, S-U-N, and then think about the S-O-N, sun. I can't remember where it was, but probably in a foreign country, and I think it was. Pretty sure that's coming to mind where it was in Kenya. They brought out something. You have to be careful when you're eating in other places. You don't want to waste a trip with an upset stomach. But you don't want to offend anyone by not taking what they offer. So a lot of times, Dr. Koski is with me. I'd say, he'll give me the look, and I'll say, he's going to eat that for me. And they say, oh, okay. But they brought out a jar of honey. And you have never seen anything like this. It was quite dark, and it was very thick. And the sunlight test in sincerity means to, like taking a jar of honey and holding it up before the sunlight. Judge it by the sunlight. How does it look? Pure, crystal clear. That's good honey. I don't know if we have anyone in here that works with honey, but that's the way you judge it. Hold it up to the sunlight. That's good stuff. You got to pass the sunlight test to be sincere. That honey we had, what about our prayers? It's the sunlight test. If God were to hold up our prayers one for another, would they pass the S-O-N sunlight test? You say, I've been praying for you. Only you can answer that question. Would it pass the test? Sincerity. He said we're to pray in purity, to be genuine in our prayers, And I'm thankful today that it's not about the eloquent words, about the length of the prayer. It's about saying, God, help this person. When God brings someone to mind, you say, Lord, I don't know what's going on right now, but you do. They came to my mind. Lord, bless them. Help them. Whatever they need. I want to tell you, folks, that's how quick and easy it can be. That's how powerful it can be. You know, again, the Lord could have called 10,000 angels to deliver him, but he didn't do it. He says, Father, if it be thy will, remove this cup. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. It may be that Father's doing a will in your life today, the Father is. Let's stand together today. God knows, and the heart of each and every believer here this morning, he knows your heart if you haven't trusted Christ. He wants your heart to be in tune with him and his son. He wants your prayer to be heard. The first prayer would be, Father, forgive me. I'm a sinner. Save me, Lord. He'll do that. Whatever the need is, he'll do that. Whatever your need is here this morning, he knows what you need. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Would you bring your need before him today? Would you pray for others? Would you pray for me? Pray for my wife? Pray for this church? Pray for the work of God in this day and age in which we live. Satan having a heyday, but there's power in prayer. Father God, we thank you today for your precious word, and we ask your Holy Spirit to continue to speak to our hearts, that we might communicate with thee, dear God, that we might take opportunity to set aside time to communicate with you, Lord, more than just when we need something. Lord, help us to come to you in thanksgiving as well. And we pray and ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.